Welcome back to Shattering News. It's just so nice to hear in the news that the man shouting Allahu Akbar and saying that he was running his car into a group of people in the name of the children in Palestine had no religious motivations. Yeah, that's the conclusion. No religious motivation. The fact he was a Muslim was irrelevant. The fact that he was confessing to the crime as a Muslim, the fact that he was acting on behalf of a mythical Islamic people, no, pay no attention to that. Just pay attention to the fact that he was mentally unstable. Of course he's mentally unstable. He's a Muslim, for crying out loud. I mean, if you're going to accept a religion that says, go out and kill for me, and I'm going to reward you with multiple perpetual virgins in paradise, if you die killing in my cause, you have to be insane. If you're going to believe a religion where the prophet, the lone spokesman for the God, was a pedophile, that he was incestuous, he was a rapist, he was a slave trader, he was a kidnapper, he was a mass murderer, he was a ruthless terrorist. If you're going to believe that man spoke for God, of course you're insane. You know, if you're going to believe a religion that whose divine revelation is the Quran, which is the worst book ever written, you're an idiot. Of course the man was an idiot. Doesn't change the fact that the motivation, the cause of the crime, was religious. Now, in the case of Ibrahim, the fellow that killed the two New York police officers in assassination style, I would ask you, how many racial murders are you aware of where a man travels across country after killing his girlfriend with a post on his site of the dominant part of his website citing the Quran, and he goes off as just a racist black man and decides that he's going to kill two cops he doesn't even know in assassination style before taking his own life? Are you aware of any just purely racist act where that would be the occurrence? How many gangbangers do you know that will travel outside of their home turf, kill their girlfriend, and then assassinate two cops who they've never had any undertakings with, never had a single conflict with? I mean, the answer would be zero. Never happened. But how many times have you seen Islam motivate a man to kill those closest to him, particularly to kill women, and then go off and to try to kill people that he doesn't even know, indiscriminately, while doing so citing the Quran? Ah, now, there's a connection. But, you know, of course, the first thing the police did is, because that connection is so obvious, they took down the website. But for those who got screenshots of his website, it was a picture of Quran 860. I'm going to share with you what the Quran 8 surah reveals. And we may spend the better part of this hour simply quoting from Quran, the 8th surah. It's called The Spoils of War. It's an astonishing story. Now, in context, because context is how you understand anything that is being cited. In context, Muhammad had successfully raided the first Meccan caravan. Now, the caravan is not a military caravan. There's no military in Mecca. They weren't carrying war materials. They didn't have an army. They didn't have police. The caravan was simply a bunch of camels carrying the kind of goods that one community traded with another community. They were just simply traders, merchants. You know, businessmen, if you want to use the term. And this Muhammad was broke. You know, the Muslims that had fled Mecca in shame didn't work. They were broke. And so Muhammad came up with this plan to lay in wait and then attack by surprise using weapons the Meccan traders. And not only did he did so in a pagan holy month, a pagan month of Ramadan, which was considered off limits, that nobody, even the most religious zealot, would never kill during Ramadan. And Muhammad did. And so the pagans were PO'd at him. He had lots of explaining to do. He was claiming to be a religious prophet, and yet he committed an act of armed robbery. He stole other people's property. He murdered innocent individuals. Those that he didn't kill right away, he tortured to death. He's then cited in the hadith, spending all night gloating over the mutilated bodies of those he's killed. He then kidnaps some of the survivors, tries to ransom them back for more money, steals everything that's there. And now he comes back to town, and that's kind of not the kind of behavior you would expect for someone who's claiming to speak for God. So the 8th surah was conceived to justify stealing, to justify murder, to justify was an act of terror, to justify kidnap, and to justify doing all of this in the midst of the most holy of the pagan religious months. That's the context. Called the Spoils of War. It begins, they question you about the windfalls taken as spoils of war. Say, booty is at the disposal of Allah and the Messenger. Who would the Messenger be? Muhammad. They belong to us and are for our benefit. So fear Allah and adjust your way of thinking in this matter. Obey Allah and His Messenger. So here's the obvious context. Even the ruthless thugs who took part in this terrorist raid with Muhammad knew what they did was wrong. They still had a conscience. Their religion hasn't destroyed their conscience at this point. They knew that lying in wait to rob business people, stealing their possessions was wrong. They knew that murdering them was wrong. They knew that torturing them was wrong. They knew that gloating over their decaying, mutilated bodies was wrong. They knew that kidnapping these survivors and trying to ransom them back to their grieving families was wrong. They knew it was wrong. And they were questioning Muhammad. So Muhammad said, so you were questioning about the spoils of war. Now, by the way, there was no war. These aren't the spoils of war. There was no war. The Meccans hadn't declared war on Muhammad. There was no war. The Meccans didn't go out with an army. They didn't even have one. The Meccans weren't trying to raid the Muslims. They didn't attack them. There was no war. This is a terrorist act, but put into the concept of the spoils of war, because that's how Muhammad saw it. They say booty is at the disposal of Allah and His Messenger. Well, since Allah and the Messenger were one and the same, booty is at the disposal of Muhammad. They belong to us and are for our benefits. So fear Allah. Yeah. Fear Muhammad's imaginary God, his wannabe God, and adjust your way of thinking the matter. Obey Allah and His Messenger. Now, how would you obey Allah? Allah never spoke. No, Allah never ever spoke to anyone. So how would you obey Allah if you're a Muslim? You can't. But you can obey Muhammad. Now, you can't obey Muhammad by simply reading the Quran. because the Quran is supposed to be Allah speaking. So the only way to obey Muhammad is to read the Hadith. Without the Hadith, Islam is impossible. The Quran is an absolute waste of time. When the Quran says, obey Allah and His Messenger, the only way to do that is to read and understand what Muhammad ordered, which is in the Hadith. It means that the Hadith is inseparable from the Quran in terms of Islam. This then continues. The only believers, that would be the only person that can consider themselves a Muslim, are those who feel fear and terror when Allah is mentioned. Yes? If you're not afraid of Muhammad's wannabe God, then you're not a Muslim. You have to fear this God. It makes Allah the antithesis of Yahweh. When his Quran revelations are recited to them, it increases their faith. If this drivel, if this immoral rant increases your faith, then you are a Muslim. Muslims establish regular prayers and pay out their booty that we have given them. So this is Muhammad claiming that he and his pretend God have booty that they somehow are deserving. So it's the Muslims who actually confiscated and stole the property have to give the property that they stole from others to Muhammad and his pretend God. That's what this says. Then it says, these are true Muslims. So a Muslim has been defined for you. For them are exalted grades with their Lord and pardon and a beautiful provision. So those Muslims who went with Muhammad as terrorists, committing murder, armed robbery, kidnapping, that those thugs have a pardon from their God. That's the kind of behavior that gives you a pardon, particularly if you're afraid of Allah, afraid of His Messenger, and follow Muhammad's orders. You get a pardon from the most egregious behavior that humans can possibly commit. We'll be back. Since the assassin of the two officers in New York City cited Quran 860 as his motivation, I thought you would benefit, all of us would benefit, from considering what the Quran's 8th surah reveals. This goes on to say that your Lord, Lord is Satan's title, ordered and caused you, this is speaking to the good Muslims, out of your homes to fight for the true cause. Now, again, these Muslims with Muhammad laid in wait to kill and rob those driving camels as part of a group of merchants. Your Lord ordered you and caused you out of your homes to fight for the true cause, even though some Muslims dislike it. And I say, at this point, some of the Muslims still had a conscience. They knew what Muhammad had ordered them to do was wrong. And they were adverse to fighting. They argued with you concerning this matter. This is now Allah speaking to Muhammad, allegedly. They argued with you concerning this matter even after it was made clear to them. It was as if they were being driven to their death. Muhammad is having a very difficult time convincing the first Muslims that their God wants them to engage in jihad, terrorism, on his behalf. Behold, Allah promised that the one of the two parties would fall and become yours. You coveted, and this says the caravan, the one which was not armed. Neither were armed. But Muhammad wanted the caravan. This is, so Allah is saying that, you know, I wanted since the caravan had two groups of people, and one had the possessions, the other not as much. So there were two parties of Meccans coming back. Muhammad was lying in wait. Muhammad wanted to rob the caravan that had the most loot. And so this is acknowledging that Muhammad coveted the caravan. Then this says, Allah wished to confirm and justify the truth by his words, wipe the infidels out to the last, that he might justify the truth and prove falsehood false, distasteful though it might be to the disbelievers who oppose. If you oppose Muhammad, you are a disbeliever, even when Muhammad orders you to be a terrorist. Quran 8:9. Remember, you implored the assistance of your Lord, and he heard what you requested. I will assist you with 1,000 angels, rank on ranks. So, the Muslims, having committed murder, mass murder, having committed armed robbery, having committed a terrorist act, are now being told by the wannabe Islamic God that it wasn't them who did the killing. No, it was 1,000 angels, rank on rank, that did the killing. The imaginary God with imaginary angels. 8:10, Allah made the victory, which was killing, kidnapping, and stealing, but a message of hope, a glad tiding to reassure you. Victory comes only from him. He sent down rain to clean you of the plague of eagles, suggestions of Satan, that you might plant your feet firmly. Oh, it's Allah's a rain god. They're claiming here, Muhammad's claiming that there was a rain shower that came down so that those who were fighting and killing the Meccan traitors could plant their feet more firmly. So much for the angels, I guess, because angels that you wouldn't think would need to plant their feet firmly, but so that the first Muslims could be more effective in their killing. There was rain on there. Now, why would that not make the footing also equally good for the Islamic victims? We don't want to know that because that would require someone to think. Then the Quran says, your Lord inspired the angels with the message, I am with you. So, the Islamic Lord is inspiring his angels. Not ordering them, inspiring them. I am with you. Go and give firmness to the believers. I will terrorize the unbelievers. Therefore, smite them on their necks and every joint and incapacitate them. Strike off their heads and cut off each of their fingers and toes. We'll return to that lovely Quranic recital in a moment. Yes, let me turn to that lovely Quran recital. This is Quran, the 8th surah, the 12th verse. We're reading this because that was the motivation for the Ishmael, the man who assassinated the two New York cops. Quran 8:12. Now, I want all of us now to recognize that this is from the Holy Quran. Your Lord inspired the angels with the message, I am with you. Go give firmness to the believers. I will terrorize the unbelievers. Therefore, smite them on their necks and every joint and incapacitate them. Strike off their heads, cut off each of their fingers and toes. So here, Allah is claiming that he is a terrorist. I will terrorize the unbelievers. So, the Islamic God is a terrorist deity, by his own admission. But he is obviously an incompetent terrorist deity, an impotent terrorist deity, because he himself can't do squat. No, he's inspiring the Muslims, who he's told to fear him and to obey him, with the following instructions. Smite them on their necks. To smite them on their neck is to cut off their head. So, when Muslims cut off the heads of non-Muslims, screaming Allahu Akbar, they are following Allah's instructions. They are following Allah's orders. They're following Muhammad's example. Don't pretend that that's part of a radical Islam. It's the Islam of the Quran. Therefore, smite them on their necks. Cut off their necks. And every joint. Cut off their every joint. We cut off their arms and their legs. And incapacitate them. So the way that you incapacitate an Islam is to mutilate. Strike off their heads and cut off each of their fingers and toes. Yeah, see, Muhammad mutilated those that he killed, torturing them in the process. And here is Allah saying that he not only condoned it all, but that he demanded that it be done that way. Now, if you claim to be a Muslim and you claim to be a peaceful person and you say that, you know, Islam doesn't encourage this kind of behavior, read your damn Quran. Deal with it. Muhammad was the aggressor. He was brutal. He was a savage. And his God endorses it all right in the Quran. Go read Quran 8:12. 8:13. This because they rejected Allah. So they should be mutilated because they reject Allah. If you reject Allah, which you should because Allah was modeled after Satan, because Allah claims to be a terrorist, because Allah orders Muslims to mutilate, to decapitate and to mutilate anyone who doesn't acquiesce, who doesn't surrender to Islam. That makes Islam criminal. That makes Islam illegal. So it was okay to terrorize people. It's okay, according to the Quran, to decapitate them. It's okay, according to the Quran, to mutilate them. If their crime is to reject Allah. Now, any sane, rational person is going to reject Allah. So if you're sane and rational, if you're informed and reasonable, then the wannabe Islamic God wants Muslims to incapacitate you by mutilating you, by severing you at every joint, by cutting off your head, by terrorizing you. This because they rejected Allah and defied his messenger. You know, Allah and the messenger are one and the same. If anyone opposes Allah and his messenger, Allah shall be severe in punishment. That is the torment. So taste the punishment for those infidels who resist. There is torment of hell. So here's Allah saying, first I want you to torment them on earth. Torture them. Mutilate them. Decapitate them. Incapacitate them physically. Terrorize them. And after you've done that, on my orders, I'm going to torture them in hell. By the way, this is so demonic, so depraved, and right in the heart of the Quran, in the 8th surah. For someone to pretend that Islam is a great religion, they're either completely ignorant or completely immoral, or both. Believers, this would be Muslims, when you meet unbelieving infidels in battle while you are marching for war, by the way, they were not marching for war. There was no battle here. This, if you were to call this a battle, it would be very much like the U.S. Army and Air Force deciding that they wish to attack a farming community in Iraq, and that they'll drop cluster bombs and then go in with snipers and then with automatic weapons and tanks against people who are armed with nothing more than farm implements. That is the comparison here. So if you think that's marching off to war, then well, maybe you'll qualify as a good Muslim. never turn your backs on them, it says here. If any turns his back in such a day, unless it's a stratagem of war, a maneuver to rally his side, he draws upon himself the wrath of Allah, and his abode is hell, an evil refuge. So if you are a Muslim and you retreat in a battle, even if the battle is lost, if you retreat as a Muslim, Allah is telling you you're going to go to hell. So even if you're a good jihadist and you engage in the battle, and in this case the battle was against civilians, but you don't continue to attack and kill, then the Quran says you go straight to hell. How about that? Isn't it nice? It's kind of like, remember the Stalin in World War II? He sent his troops up against the Germans with, you know, the two guys, one gun. They didn't have enough guns. And you know, the first guy with the gun, he'd be killed, and the second guy was supposed to pick up the gun out of the dead person's hands and then go forward until he was shot. And it was kind of a way of just wearing the Germans out and causing them to spend their ammunition. And if any Russian were to retreat from the madness of that assault, then there were Russians properly armed with guns that would shoot their own who were retreating. This now says 8:17. It was not you, Muslims, who slew them. It was Allah who killed them. It was not you, Muhammad, who threw. It was not your act, but it was Allah who threw, in order that he might test the believers by doing them a gracious favor of his own. For Allah is he who hears and knows. So, here are the Muslims at Muhammad's orders, because he's covetous and wants to steal from the caravan, throw spears at the businessman. But in the recreation of what occurred in the Quran, it says, no. It wasn't the Muslims that threw the spears. No, it was Allah who threw them. You just took your arm back and took it forward with the spear in your hand and let go, and it pierced a civilian. And you think it was you who did it, but no, it wasn't you. It was Allah. And by the way, then why would the rain be a benefit when it shored up the footing of the Muslims? Even matter if it was Allah who threw the spears. And oh, by the way, why have the angels, 1,000 angels there, terrorizing, if in fact it was really Allah there who threw the spears? And what is Allah doing murdering civilians for the purpose of booty? That's some kind of God, isn't it? Quran 8:18. This and surely Allah weakens the deceitful plots of the unbelieving infidels. What plot? They weren't plotting anything. They were trying to carry the goods that they had traded for back to Mecca. They had taken goods to a civilized place, probably up around Cairo, and were returning back to Mecca. Their plot was, gee, you know, here's the trail. Let's lead our camels along the trail. But no. This was Allah weakening their deceitful plot. Quran 8:19. You asked for a judgment so that the judgment came to you. If you desist, it will be best for you. If you return, so shall we. And your forces, no matter how large, will fail. For verily, Allah is with those who believe him. So I guess the audience here is now different. Allah is speaking now allegedly to the Quraysh, which no longer exist. O you who believe, obey Allah and his messenger. Do not turn away from him when you hear him speak. Do not be like those who say, we hear but do not listen. Those who do not obey are the worst of beasts, the vilest of animals in the sight of Allah. They are deaf and dumb. Those who do not understand are senseless. Allah had seen, and any good in them, or if Allah had seen any good in them, he would have made them listen. And even if he had made them listen, they would have turned away and declined submission. They would have declined Islam, which means submission. So here is the basis of Islam. Obey. Obey. Listen to what Muhammad says and obey it. Listen to what Allah commands and obey it. If you don't obey Allah, no matter how despicable, you're deaf and dumb. You're senseless. Now, mind you, the obedience here was to go commit murder, kidnap, and armed robbery. And to act as a terrorist, because it was a militant group attacking a civilian enterprise. That's what the orders were. And if you don't follow and obey those orders to be a terrorist, according to Islam, you are senseless. Quran says, O believers, these would be Muslims, answer Allah and His Messenger when He calls you to that which will give you light. And know, which by the way is martyrdom, and know that Allah comes in between a man and his heart. To him you shall be gathered. Fear the affliction and trial that awaits those who do not obey. Let's continue to indulge ourselves with the Holy Quran. Quran chapter 8, verse 29. O ye who believe, that would be Muslims, if you obey and fear Allah, He will grant you a criterion to judge between right and wrong, or a way to overlook your evil thoughts and deeds. Yeah, a way to, Allah's going to provide an entirely different way to determine right and wrong. Lying, right. Stealing, right. Murder, right. Terrorism, right. Free will, wrong. Morality, wrong. Yes, indeed. A new criterion for right and wrong. Good becomes bad. Bad becomes good. How about this one? Remember how the unbelievers plotted against you to keep you in bonds and to slay you. By the way, they never did that. The Meccans never did incarcerate the Muslims. They never did put them in bonds. They never did kill them. Or to get you out. Now, the or is important there because the first two things didn't happen. But finally, they did run them out of town when Muhammad came up with the satanic verses. They plotted, and Allah, too, had arranged a plot. But Allah is the best schemer. The best schemer. When your God claims to be the best schemer, the best plotter, the best conniver, you know, you really ought to find a better God. There's something wrong with your God when your God claims to be the best schemer. 831. When our verses are rehearsed to them, they say, we've heard this before. In other words, it's plagiarized. If we wished, we could say words like these. In other words, it's very poorly written or spoken. These are nothing but stories of the ancients. Muhammad, at this point, has revealed some 100 Quran surahs, every one of which has been plagiarized, either from the pagan Hanafs in Yemen or from the Babylonian Talmud and from the Jewish rabbis. He has also incorporated the pagan religion of the Arabs into his Quran. And so those who are hearing it are saying what any informed and rational person would say. This is plagiarized. This is plagiarized. It's not only plagiarized, but it's really poorly written and spoken. I mean, any moron could do better than this. That's what that statement just said. Those who knew Muhammad best realized that he was A, plagiarizing, and B, moronic, incompetent, as was his wannabe God. 832. Remember how they say, O Allah, if this Quran is indeed the truth revealed from you, rain down on us a shower of stones from the sky, send us a painful doom. But Allah was not going to send them a penalty while you were among them. But what plea have they that Allah should not punish them? What makes them so special? They ostracized from the holy mosque, and they were not fitting and appointing guardians. Its custodian can only be those who keeps his duty to Allah, and their prayer of worship at the house of Allah is nothing but the whistling and clapping of hands. They will have to taste the punishment because they disbelieved. What this is saying is the Kaaba, which was a rock pile honoring rock gods, was Allah's special place. In other words, let's just incorporate the pagan religion of rock worship into our new monotheistic religion. You know, the 360 rock gods there. But the Meccans, no, there'll be a painful doom for them because their prayers there don't count. 836. The unbelievers spend their wealth to hinder from the way of Allah, and so will they continue to spend. But in the end, they will have intense regrets and sighs. It will become an anguish to them, and then they will be subdued. The unbelievers shall be driven into hell in order that Allah may distinguish the bad from the good and separate them. Allah wants to heap the wicked one over the other and to cast them into hell. They are the losers. Yep, the Islamic God loves hell. That's where he's going to spend all of his time. He wants the more people that can possibly end up in hell, in hell. Spend time with him. Get the same faith that he has. What could be better than a religion that sends people into hell, piled one on top of another? That is the goal of Islam. It's a hellish religion, which has it at its core, a singular goal for everyone to be anguished in hell.